Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, y'all? Real quick, I had to clap real quick. I had to clap back at this lady because she's saying, we sitting here talking, she's saying she spent more time in the South than me. And so we about to settle this right here and now.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Let's Make Out podcast. First of all, thank you for coming and hanging out with us for a little bit. We appreciate you.
Yes.
If this is your first time listening, hey, please make sure that you rate and subscribe.
Yes.
And leave a comment. Let us know what you're thinking about it. If you want to keep up with us, you can find us
on YouTube at Let's Make Out Podcast. On Twitter is Let's Make Out Pod. Instagram's Let's Make Out Podcast. iTunes, Let's Make Out Podcast. Amazon Music, all that stuff.
Spotify.
And then Spotify. Or you can go to GabeBabeTV.com.
That's right.
Everything's over there. And you can find all things Gabe and Babe.
Right. And I forgot this, but the Let's Make Out podcast is a place where we make out all things love, life, and laughter.
That's
so
right.
Today, we're talking about some good stuff.
We're talking about some good stuff.
I don't know if I want to tell you yet, but what is this you're talking about? We had to settle. Let's settle this first, and then I'll tell you what we're talking about.
All right. So, okay. Let's
wait. First, cue the music.
What's up, y'all?
Back up in this mud.
We are back. All right, so let's make sure we don't get distracted because we got stuff to talk about. Okay, here's the thing. Starting in 2000, you left good old Indiana.
Yes.
To head to good old TSU.
Yes, Cashville, Tennessee.
How long were you in Tennessee, which is the South? Go ahead, go.
I was there from 2000 to 2008.
Okay. All right. All right. Then
you're about to give me your whole situation.
So then what's considered South?
What do you mean what's considered South?
What's considered South?
I feel like Tennessee starts the South.
What I'm saying is like Oklahoma considered the South. Arizona considered the South.
I don't really feel
if like I'm like on the border.
Honestly, I might need to pull up a map.
I mean, it's I'm saying it's the southern tip of the United States.
Did you just make that up? The southern tip of the United States?
I was on the border of Mexico and U.S. in Arizona.
You was on the border of what? Wait, let me pull up this map.
Mexico and U.S., sweetie.
Oh, okay.
So, I feel like that can be part of the South.
I guess. It's interesting because when I think of the South,
I know.
You really only think of the Southeast kind of. You don't think of what's on the West side.
Yeah, but that's the South
too.
But it
too. Is the South.
The southern side
of
the
U.S. Because, I mean, Texas is the South.
Exactly. All right. So with that being said, I went to Oklahoma, so I won't consider that the South. All right. So then I went to Fort Huachuca, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I was there for 8 months. So that's good. 8 months right there.
I just ain't never heard nobody in Arizona be like, I live in the South.
Then I went to Louisiana.
Okay. I get
Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Okay.
I was there until 2000 and, well, technically, I was still, even when I was overseas, I still was in Fort Polk. So basically, and then I went from there to Georgia. Georgia. So 2000. So let's say 2001 Georgia. To 2007. And then I went to Savannah, Tennessee until 2013.
I was in Savannah, Tennessee too, shouting.
So I've got.
From 2011 to 2013. 12
years. I got 12 years down the south.
I got 6 years.
Yeah. I done what you kid.
All right, you won that one. You won that
one. All right, all right. We had to settle that right
quick. Anyway, that is not even what we're talking about today, you guys.
We're talking about going down south, though.
Damn.
Okay, look.
Okay, so if you haven't, well, you already know, first of all, because
don't let them listen to this.
First of all, you clicked on this, so you know what we're talking about. But it's going down. We're talking about sex.
Yes.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. I don't want you to be looking at me like you don't know that song.
I know that. I just don't know the word. I just don't know the words.
I was like waiting for you to like come in because you normally like.
I don't know the
me.
Words for that one.
What? Really? That's classic.
I mean, I just don't remember the words. Plus, you're talking about sex. I'm talking about like for real. Let's talk about
anyway,
sex.
Anyway, so okay.
All right.
Why are we talking about this? A few weeks ago, mm-hmm. I asked a lot of my I asked all of my Instagram peeps to let me know what they would like for us to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and we got so many responses.
A lot of responses.
Sex,
yes.
And I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. I mean, so many things from premarital sex to sex after having a baby, how to keep it fresh, how to keep passion, and I'm actually going to read responses that I got from a good friend, and he says, I've heard many times over the years that couples have a hard time keeping the intimate aspect of their relationship intact after marriage. The idea that it's difficult to keep that spark alive, especially and even more so after children are conceived. Is it difficult? Do you ever find yourself struggling with that idea? How do you guys keep the spark so that as the years tally up, you don't fall victim of being the husband and wife who no longer express their sexual feelings deeply? So,
good question.
Yeah, really, really good question. And there were some people that I think asked like sex before marriage or sex after marriage. And because here's the thing, I think that in our society, well, most people feel like when you get married, that's when the sex stops.
I've heard friends say that to friends, like, mm-hmm. man, as soon as you get married, man, that booty stop.
Yeah.
You know, you hear them say that because it's like it's a stigma that, you know, that it stops for whatever reason.
And I'm not going to say that it doesn't necessarily happen. I'm sure that it does, but it furthermore shows how, just as a culture and lifestyle, how we view things anyway, because sex is not even really supposed to start until after marriage. Like,
yeah,
I do believe that we're Christians. I do believe that
we're not perfect.
Premarital sex is not what it was. It's not designed that way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I waited.
Exactly.
Because I got to be honest, I did it.
Yeah.
But
so no judging. We just saying.
Yeah. No judgment. But I do believe that it's not designed that way. It's supposed to be between, you know, a husband and a wife. And it's mm-hmm. interesting. I would say for us, when we got married, and we've gotten this question a lot too, also about like, you know, did we have sex before we got married? And we did.
Mm-hmm. you see all this goodness over here?
I will tell you that I feel like, you know, it wasn't.
We didn't have it like all.
It wasn't a free for all because I was really trying to not.
And we were, for one, we were two different states.
Well, yeah, we were long distance, so.
If you know our story, we were separate. We were separate as far as states, so we got to see each other, you know, mm-hmm. twice a month, maybe.
Yeah, but you can attest to this. When we were together,
I was trying.
He was.
I wasn't trying to be
so,
you know,
hard, man. And I was like, she did no. Like,
she was really trying to be.
I don't want to have sex before we get married.
She was really trying to.
I was, and then he. Wore me down.
Yeah, I wore it down. Because you see all this.
But I still, even after we got engaged, I was like, no, we are not going to have sex until the wedding night. And it was a couple times where we saw each other and we didn't.
We did not,
like,
yes.
No, we're not doing that. So, yeah, that's, now y'all know all our business. But
we're talking about sex, right?
Right. So once we got married, I think that we were typical newlyweds. Like,
yeah,
this is the time where we
wedding night
relish in it. Okay,
wedding night that started off the trend of good old healthy, sexual relations.
Good old healthy sexual relations.
But yeah, no, I mean it's it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I think that's the mental shift. And if you listen to your friends or you listen to other people, you know, outside sources tell you that it's going to stop as soon as you get married. Because, you know, like I said, I've heard that. You've heard it. I mean, I'm sure more of you have probably heard that as well, that it stops. And then you hear it again once you have kids. You know, it really stops when you have kids because that's what you hear. So I think that if you listen to that and you set yourself up, we were talking yesterday about if you go into a situation and you mentally prepare yourself for it to suck. It's going to suck.
Yeah.
So if you go into thoughts it thinking it's going to stop, then it probably will stop because your mindset's already like, oh, it's going to be harder. It's not even going to, I'm not even going to be as easy anymore. Like, you know.
I wonder what is that?
I don't know.
Why does that happen? Because I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen because, yes, there are times when, you know, it doesn't go down. Or especially after you have children, it becomes a little bit more difficult to schedule or to get the time in. So, you know, there are periods of time where you're not having sex. I mean, I feel like that's just life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you
have to make a conscious effort to prioritize it. And, some people go as far as to schedule it. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do. If you got to put it on a joint calendar, like, hey, it's going down tonight, then that's what you have to do.
Yeah, because then you're mentally, you already should want it anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but then you're mentally know that, you know what, it's going to happen tonight. And that should be exciting, right? I mean, I think I was going to add something to it. I don't remember now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I kept talking. My bad.
Oh, I know. I was thinking that once you know, sometimes when you get comfortable in situations or you feel confident that person's there, then sometimes it's easy to become complacent to that.
Yes.
You're like, well, you know, it's my husband or that's my wife. So, I mean, if I want some, I can get some. But, like, you get, you know, it's not a single mindset anymore. Single mindset, you know, you can be single. You can do your thing, right? So I think that when you're married now, you can get comfortable and kind of just expect it to be there.
Yeah.
It goes back to what we were talking about in a previous podcast about taking time for granted.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. I was looking at some of the other questions because a lot of people want to know, you know, how to get the spark back after children or how is sex after children. And I have to say that you definitely go through a period after having a baby where you are not interested. You're just not. And that's totally
the mom.
Normal.
That's the mom. You mean
obviously the dad is interested. You got to go your 6 weeks anyway after you have a baby. But even after those 6 weeks, sometimes you're just not feeling it. Like, to be honest, I, you know, just had my follow-up after having a baby, like, last week. And I was like, okay, I still feel like my libido is kind of struggling. You know, what's going on? My doctor was basically just like, you need to schedule just alone time with your husband because you have two kids now.
Breastfeeding.
And you're breastfeeding and your hormones are out of whack. And that's completely normal. She's just like, you just got to make time for it. And it's one of those things where I knew it, but I was like, okay, well, maybe I should just ask. Is it something, you know, something else I can do? But it's normal. And I remember going through that with Chad Jr. Yeah. also. And then I can't speak to like what it's like actually having, you know, like physically if you have given birth vaginally. I can't speak to that. I have friends that have done it and it's been a completely different situation than mine because I delivered via C-section with both of my children.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to necessarily go through that like reintroduction phase, you know, things a little different down there. But I do have friends that have, you know, talked about it and talked about how rough it can be. And I just think in that instance, you just have to take it slow. Like your spouse, your significant other is just going to have to be patient and, you know, just go back into it together. And I think, like, after having kids, it's a good time to maybe have a conversation about it or, like, a refresh. Like, so, you know, what do we think about our our sex life.
Yeah, I think,
you know, I think that that's absolutely something that you should do periodically anyway, just to make sure everybody is on the same page.
Yeah, I think those are just the communicating, you know, mm-hmm. like it's okay. Like the two things that I feel like marriages where people don't want to talk about, it's the hardest thing to talk about, is finances and sex.
Yeah.
And like, I think that you should be able to talk. This is your, you know, supposed to be your best friend, mm-hmm. supposed to be your partner in crime for the rest of your life. Hopefully you didn't get married, you know, for like just a time period. Hopefully your plan was to get married. You know, marriages, you know, sometimes do fall apart. There are things that happen, but I mean, you didn't go into that marriage thinking that it was going to end, right? So you went into it with a plan to be with this person for life. And so you should be able to talk about everything.
Yeah.
And that includes sex. I mean, like, hey, you know, like, hey, I like this, or I don't like this, or I want to try this, I want to do this. Like, we have all those conversations.
Yeah, we have them. It's not a one and done. Like, you have a conversation, you try some things, you talk about the things that you tried, yeah. and you have the conversation again. And, you know, I, you know, wholeheartedly believe that nothing is, you know, the bed is undefiled
yeah.
when you're married. So, you know, whatever we got to do to please each other, because at the end of the day, sex is, the purpose of sex is to create that intimacy with your spouse, and to, you know, to yeah. please each other. Like, my body is yours and your body is mine. Yeah, so girl. We are put together to please each other. So if you're in a marriage where you're not being pleased, mm-hmm. then you have to speak up. Something just the other day where somebody was saying your sex life is only as good as your communication, because you got to be able to communicate what you need, what you like, what you don't like.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, this is it. Like, this is going to be us. So I need you to know how to get me
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
Because I need to know how to get you there.
Absolutely.
Or else we're wasting time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that so many people are so quick to want to go and like tell their friends, or go like talk about it with their homies, but they won't tell each other.
Yep.
It's like, why are you telling them? Like, look, you ain't going to go out with the bros, and I mean, he ain't going to help you. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, your girlfriend ain't going to help you. I mean.
And then, you know what I'm saying? You got to be careful what you tell people anyway, because everybody, first of all, does not have your best interest in heart. And then second of all, they may not give you the best advice. Like, well, girl, you might need to check that. You might need to look for something else. Or your homeboy could be like, well, hey, you might need to get you a little side piece. Like, you know what I'm saying?
First
of all,
if
you got friends
like
that,
you
don't need
to get rid of those friends, first of all.
But you never know. Like, that's a conversation I feel like is reserved for your spouse and for God.
And here's the thing. Like, if you have that conversation with your spouse and with God, and then you still need to confide in your best friend, or, you know, vice versa.
Right.
That's fine. But you've confided in God and your wife spouse. Or husband mm-hmm. first.
Yeah.
The problem is that you're not confiding in the first two, and then you go into the third one.
And it's just like,
and what sense does that make? What is that going to help?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I just think overall it's not always going to be, you know, the stuff that you see on TV either, where it's just mad, passionate, making love sessions every other day.
Sometimes,
at least I can't say that's a reality.
I mean,
for
like
us.
Sometimes,
like, sometimes you may go through that period, and then sometimes it's like,
exactly. Sometimes you might be like putting a trash bag in the trash can, and and then, you know, it happens like that. You know what I'm saying? You did the double play doh game. Girl.
Oh, the spontaneity.
Like sometimes.
Spontaneity.
Sometimes, look, I'm going to keep it real. Sometimes the booty look real good. And you take your shot. You say, sweetheart, you know, I mean, looking real good. You want to, you know. And
sometimes it goes
and sometimes
through. And
sometimes
she says
yes.
Vetoed, okay.
And sometimes it's vetoed. But see, but that's.
That's life.
That's the life, and especially the life with kids. Because when you have kids, I think that's where you can get the spark back, is by the spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
When you have kids, now when you're single and have no kids, you don't have to be spontaneous.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you just,
you can
just
do whatever.
Well, I mean, I think it is automatically spontaneous.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to.
You don't have responsibilities outside of each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that but when you have kids, I think that's one of the keys I just thought about, is it being spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
When you have kids, take advantage of every moment.
Every piece of time
that you got, I don't
that
care.
You can get, okay?
Take your shot. Like, when you have a, I mean, seriously, you can ask
seriously.
Her. I take my shot.
He does. Very often.
Very
okay.
often. Like, when we say let's make out, I ain't playing, y'all. I'm not playing.
Okay.
Like, I take my shot. Like,
down to having to, you know, before we had Reagan, You know, a couple times if Chad is downstairs watching TV, give him the look. Let's take it up to the room.
Get him some snacks. Make sure he's good.
Get him some snacks. He's watching a movie or something. We come on up, shut this door, push that lock, and get it in.
Get it in.
Sometimes we've even had to go in the closet and shut the door and lock it and, like, hurry up and have a quickie before he finds us.
Exactly.
Like, you have to make it work.
But that's it. But those are
for
fun because you laugh about it.
That's the fun thing. Yeah, because you're like, it's like a game. Like, can we get it in?
It is. No, it's like a game of, like, espionage, like like he trying to, like, you know, you got the spy trying to catch you.
Okay, because he will come looking for us.
He will
look up and see us both gone. He's like, wait a minute,
where mommy,
mommy, daddy?
It's first thing we hear, we're like, oh crap,
let's finish.
But like,
real quick.
I mean, it's just, it's, I think it's, that's, but that, I think that's one of the keys, especially after having kids, is being spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. Like, it should, you should, like, at no point in time, we've been through the scheduled, like, make sure you, we try to get it in when you're ovulating. And that's not fun.
It is not fun. Trying to, sex when you're trying to conceive is a totally different beast because it is stressful.
It's very stressful.
And timed because you want to make sure you get it done. It's frequent and you're just, sometimes you're just like over it. Like you just want to, I just want to have sex and be, you know, relaxed. I just remember after getting pregnant with Reagan, that sex was fantastic. Because it was so, I mean, we went, years of trying to conceive
for 3+ years of trying to conceive on this scheduled ovulation schedule.
Oh my goodness.
And it, you know, just it's not the same because that's not the, you know, you have a common goal and that's why you're doing it.
Yeah.
But like it, the intimacy is hard to keep in those moments because you're just trying to get it in.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, right after we found out we were pregnant, it was confirmed.
Man. It was great. Yeah, I mean, pregnancy sex is already really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like the whole
pressure
was off. And it's like, okay, this is what it's supposed to feel like when you're just enjoying it. You know what I'm saying?
We about to take a pause for this podcast right now. We'll talk to y'all later. And I was like,
so ridiculous. Let's see. Did we answer all his questions?
I don't know.
Let me see.
But no, if I had to give one tip right there is that,
So the tips we have so far.
The tips we have so far is to talk about it. Talk about what pleases you, what pleases each other, so that you guys know what you like, what you don't like. Because you might be doing something that your spouse or your significant other doesn't like.
Right.
So, but they don't know if you don't like that if you don't tell them.
Yeah, that's
like,
so true.
So just communicate. Goes back to communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communicate what you like and what you don't like and what you'd like to do more of. And then talk about it. Try it. And, you know, have an after action review to see how it went. Look, I'm saying, whiteboard it down. Like, you know what? I liked when you did that. I didn't like that.
When you said whiteboard in my head, wipe me down is what was playing.
Okay.
So random.
Okay. After the podcast, sweetheart.
Yeah. Okay. So you gave two tips?
And then.
You gave three.
And then, then the one for when you have kids is spontaneity. Be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. Like, take advantage and make it fun. Make it a game, like Gabriel said. Like, you know, like, hey, you know, hey, he's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, hey, you know what? We got a couple minutes here. Let's, you know, just take advantage of those moments. It doesn't have to be, because those end up being, like, times where we laugh and we...
Right. And it's hilarious. Just the whole situation is hilarious.
Yeah, it's just funny. I mean, so I think that it continues, but it keeps the spark because we want each other. So if for some reason we can't in that moment, then it just makes us want each other more.
Yeah.
And we gonna figure out a time to get it in, like, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. But I was gonna say one other thing to keep in mind is that sometimes sex is about compromise because you may not always be in the mood. And your spouse may not always be in the mood. And, you know, hey, I'm the first to be like, nah, bruh, not tonight. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I have to check myself because it's like, this is my duty as a wife. You know what I'm saying? And I want my husband to be satisfied. I don't want him to be looking elsewhere. So, you know, you have to keep that in mind also. Like, some days you put yourself aside and you please your significant other because that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to keep that in mind. Yeah, everybody has their days where they're not feeling it. I get it. But sometimes you have to step aside and be like, okay, you know what? This is what we're called to do. So
yeah, and I don't ever like when, and I know she's in this moment where she's breastfeeding, got, you know, a baby that needs her like 24/7, you know, or wants her more than she wants daddy right now. And that's just, I mean, it's part of life, you know, right now. So I know that sometimes she's not feeling it, but, you know, so I'll pick my moments where I'm like, sweetheart, so, you know, like, you know, real quick, what do you think, you know? And I usually know when she's going to give in.
He does it so much.
And so if I know that she's not going to give in, then I'll just kind of, well, tomorrow, you know, but if I feel like she's going to give in, then I'll like, well, look, it can be this, it can be that, be quick, right, you know? Right. I mean,
I feel like when I say no, I usually be like, tomorrow. Or next day. Like, it's not just like a flat out no. It's like, not right now, I'm not really feeling it, but tomorrow I got you.
Yeah,
or
exactly,
you know what
exactly
I'm saying?
So it's a compromise in that moment. And yeah, so
and that works.
Yeah, it works. So it's like, I mean, I'm very satisfied.
Yes.
So
as am I.
So yeah, that's the cool part, because, you know, again, we communicate about it.
Mm-hmm. We talk about it. And I was gonna give this suggestion for this book. It's so funny. One of my friends in wife's prayer group that I'm in, she gave us all this book, and it's called 31 Days to Great Sex. And I want to recommend it to you guys, because we didn't finish it, but the bit that we did was actually pretty helpful. Like, it mm-hmm. covers, you know, a wide range of topics when it comes to, you know, sex and intimacy, and, you know, just even down to like your past and how your behavior has been before, because those factors all those things factor into how your current sex life is anyway, like your previous experiences. So I am going to recommend that to, you know, all the married couples out there, 31 Days to Great
Sex. And
I'll put
a link to that down in the show notes as
well. Yeah, it's a every day you read, it's like a one page, maybe like two pages sometimes, and then it gives you a task. And it's not like you're having sex every day. Every task is not
to have sex.
It's not sex. So don't think it's about to be 31 days straight of doing it.
All
but
you
hey,
husbands out there, you're like,
if you want to do it, I challenge you to do that, okay?
So Dr. Oz says that, I think, if I remember correctly, that a man needs to ejaculate.
Didn't we talk about this on our previous
like
podcast?
27 to 28 times a month?
Yeah, I think that's
And that's
what
so, so I do mess with her sometimes. He does. I just for fun, I'd be like, sweetheart, you want me to live a long, healthy life, right? And she just laughs.
That's like his automatic.
But she watched it with me, or else she would never believe it. Because she actually saw it too. And I was like, sweetheart. We were in Savannah, Tennessee when I saw that. I was like, I bumped her in the arm. I'm like, sweetheart, listen. And she's like, really?
He did. He's so funny. Which reminds me, I need to find that clip.
We need to find that clip.
Because I'm sure it's on there somewhere.
If we can find it, then we're going to put that in the description as well.
In the notes. But yeah, I think that, I mean.
I do want to mention, sorry, so we don't have to cut you off. But the reason we didn't finish that book, honestly, we liked it. But the reason we didn't finish it was because we were trying to have Reagan.
Yeah,
and
so
it wasn't
it was
the
interfering.
Right timing. It wasn't the right timing to do the book.
Yeah. You know what? We should start that book.
I think we might try it again.
Let's start it back up.
It made me think about it. That just wasn't a good timing.
Yeah. So let's all get the book and let's start it. You're supposed to start at the beginning. I mean, I don't think it really matters when you start it.
You can probably start whenever you'd like.
So we're gonna start ours again. So get your book, and we're going to go on the 31 Days to Great Sex with Our Spouses. I'm not trying to encourage somebody that's not married to get it on. You do what you do. I'm not trying to encourage that. But if you are married, let's take the challenge and have great sex with our spouses, because life is too short to be having bad sex, especially with the person you with for the rest of your life.
Saying, if you married, like,
bruh,
it should
we
be
got
good.
To get this thing right.
It
okay?
should be good. So I think that, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, well, I think you learned a lot about us.
I know.
But
I'm trying to think. I feel like we covered every aspect of.
For y'all longtime peeps, though,
the sex question.
This podcast is Let's Make Out, but you know where that started.
Yes.
So for you longtime peeps.
It all started out from
talking about like making out. So,
So speaking of waiting to have sex, this is just an interesting. I would have to go. I don't know. I feel like I don't know how to have that conversation. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you I feel like we've completely taken a turn. But speaking of sex, I was just thinking of, you know, because a couple people did ask about sex before marriage, and it's like I'm obviously not going to encourage that for Reagan and Chad Jr. But like,
well, we also will be honest and truthful of the fact that we did have premarital sex. So we're not going to say that we encourage it, but we're going to say that we Because I think I think the problem is with our society now. One of the other problems is that too many parents and grandparents want to say, "Don't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that." But they fail to mention that they did it. Mm-hmm. So how about you own up to the fact that you made the mistakes as well? And here's why I don't want you to make the same mistakes. Yeah. Instead of saying, "You know what? You suck. You shouldn't be doing that."
Like, don't say you suck.
Well, what I mean is, how many times have, you know, like my parents did to me, like, you know, would mm-hmm. tell me, "Well, don't do this. Don't do that." But come to find out years later, they did the same crap. So it's like,
I think that's the case with everything.
Though. Yeah, but I feel like it's okay to be honest and say, "I messed up. Yeah. Here's why I don't want you to do it."
I think that's the better approach to take. Because
I messed up and I saw the reasons that it, you know, I didn't need to do it. Mm-hmm. And here's why I'm telling you, I can't why make you do it either way, right?
Yeah, like that's...
Whoa.
Oh. Not a music play when we don't need it.
All right.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. It's the difference in like parenting in fear. I don't want to parent in absolutely. Fear. Like, you better not have sex until you're married and da da da. Like, it's, I don't want it to be.
I want to parent with fear based. With honesty.
I want it to be honest, and I want it to get to the point where they are like, "You know what? I don't need to have sex before I'm married. I don't need the stress of it. I don't need that soul tie with people that I'm not going to spend the rest of my life with." Because let's be real, like, everybody that you have gone down that road with, there is a soul tie there. It is an intimate connection there that you have to break. Like, you have to pray and you have to break that. It don't just go away.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely want them to know that and the truth of, you know, what the word says about having it, but mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a fear-based decision, if that absolutely. Makes sense. Yeah. So it's interesting just thinking about, like, it that's is. The one thing, you know, nobody tells when you have kids just how you're going to, you know, handle those questions when they come. And handle these moments. And it's like, no, you know, do as I say, not as I do, because mommy went through her things. Yeah, but
I think it's okay to be honest as a parent to say that,
my mom was honest with me.
Think about the best mentors or public speakers, the people that we look up to and we're like, man, they inspire the heck out of me. Half of them, if not more, are telling you because they failed like in an area. So they're telling you what not to do because they failed in that area, and they're trying to help you do better. And I think that's what parents have the power to do. Parents have the power to be like, to be your biggest inspiration, your biggest driver, your biggest push.
Yeah.
But be honest about the fact that the reason I'm telling you this or pushing you this way is because I've made mistakes in my life. I'm not perfect.
Right.
And I don't want you to suffer the way I did or have the same mistakes that I did. If you don't have to, you're going to make your own mistakes. That's okay. But if I can give you advice, I'm giving you true advice of this isn't just me making it up.
Yeah.
It's, I made mistakes.
Yeah.
And I want you to, I want to help you to understand why you don't have to make those as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you just have to, you just pray and
easier said than done, I'm sure, but
that they'll listen. Because, you know, I feel like some mistakes, you just don't get it until you have them yourself.
No, true, but absolutely.
But I feel like sex is not one that you need to experience to, you know what I'm saying? But I just, you know, it's interesting.
It's easier said than done. We don't have all of
them. I don't even want to think about either one of my kids being intimate with anybody. Like, I can't even. When do you even have these conversations? Like,
so, okay, for all you parents out there that actually have kids that are
older than ours,
obviously, our oldest is 5 and a half, our youngest is 8 months, in case you guys don't know that. But all you parents out there that have kids that are above the age of, let's just say, 16, 15, 16.
Yeah, because 13.
So let us know, like, if you're comfortable, let us know how you've broached that conversation,
how you've
talked about that and how you've handled that conversation, because I think that'd be helpful for us, for one, because we don't know.
Yeah.
And that'd be helpful for other people as well that might be going through it or about to go through it.
Or you can share how your parents are approached it with you, you know.
If that helped you, like, how did it? Yeah, absolutely. Because I think there's a lot of parents out there that are crushing it, doing amazing.
Right.
You know, and there's some parents that are probably just as lost as us, and some of you maybe too, is like, what are we supposed to do?
So do you feel like you will be the same on both of them? Or will you be a little lenient on Chad Jr.? I feel like boys, they just get...
I think that
they get the.
I think that that's.
What am I trying to say?
That's the easy. I think a lot, you know, that.
They don't get it as hard as girls.
Yeah, it's different. It's people, you know, think of it differently because it's a boy and a girl, mm-hmm. right? But no, I think that for me, I just want I you know, I don't want Chad to make the same mistakes I made. Mm-hmm. I want him to, you know, always be, you know, very respectful, always handle himself like a man and do, you know, do good things and treat people right, yeah. and focus on, you know, thriving as a person before he, and the same for Reagan.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that if we, so for me, I just want to approach it with both of them the same way, whereas you don't need someone else to help you be who you are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Get to who you're supposed to be and pray about it and work with God to start getting in that right direction, and God will put the right person in front of you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that, you know, no, I'm not going to treat him differently. I think that the conversations will be different because mm-hmm. he's a boy and she's a girl. So the conversations will be different in the way that they're handled.
But he doesn't, he's not going to get
I'm not
going to
be like, yeah, go ahead, Chad. No, that's because that's not.
You know, we're
because,
not doing that.
No, because at the end of the day, mm-mm. either one of them can make the mistake that causes, that changes their lives. Yeah. You know, forever.
Forever.
So it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl. And so they both need to know the consequences are
so true.
Are just as, you know,
big. It's the same for each. You know what I'm saying? Like you're one great night away from a baby, a STD. Like, so you know what I'm saying?
And who knows? Who knows in 10 years, 15 years from now?
Exactly.
What else? You know, so
it's
just,
is it even worth it?
Yeah. Is it gonna cure whatever problem or whatever, you know, itch you have in that moment? It's not.
And if whoever you with don't want to wait, holla.
Yeah. Deuces.
Okay.
You ain't the one.
Plenty more folks out here that'll be okay with it. So yeah, it's interesting to navigate that in such an overly sexualized, you know, world that we live in. Like sex is everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are always talking about it. You're always seeing it on TV. I feel like even like the regular channels, they show even more now. So it's
it's crazy. You could be on like a regular station, all of a sudden you get like,
oh, you get that's like a bit much.
Like, wait, why is there side boob? What the heck happened? Yeah. Like, you know,
it's a lot.
It's becoming more and more common and okay.
Yeah. It's difficult to navigate, but yeah, so that's our spill on sex.
That's
hopefully
right.
We covered everything. I feel like most of the suggestions and the topics, like those were the three things: sex before marriage, sex after kids, how to keep the sex
spark,
you know, the spark alive.
But the bottom line of this, I think our underlying full message is this: it does not need to change. Your sex can get better every single day, mm-hmm. as a married couple, regardless of kids, whatever. It does not need to get worse.
Yeah.
It can get better.
It can get better.
As long as you communicate, work together, and
I think also, really quick, I think that it stems from the communication you have in your relationship, period. Because if you're upset about something, or if you, you know, are holding on to things, or if you don't fully trust your mate or whatever, that's going to translate into your sex life. That's going to translate
everything
into
the stress
and
work does.
Like, it all affects
everything.
So a lot of times when people say they're in a sexless marriage, or they're not having as much sex as they used to, it could be just because they're stressed at work, or because maybe they've gone through something with their spouse and they don't fully trust them, or you know what I'm saying? Like, even if I'm upset because Chad didn't do the dishes, my mind ain't right. Like, I don't want to do that. You ain't do the dishes.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Just little things like that. So imagine if it was something
big.
Even bigger, you know, like that. It all starts in your mind, mm-hmm. and what's going on outside of the bedroom anyway. So I feel like people just look at it like, oh, we're not having sex, but then they don't even think about, well, what else? Are y'all even really communicating?
Exactly.
Are y'all talking?
Communication is the key.
You know, existing in this cohabitating, or are you actually living in a relationship?
And actually talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Saying you're talking about it and talking about it are two mm-hmm. different things.
Yeah.
Or we talked about it. Well, did you really talk about it?
Did
talking about it and coming to a resolution is different from mm-hmm. talking about it and just moving on.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have a resolution. There has to be a plan forward.
Yeah.
If something is bothering you, right? So I think that that's, yeah, I mean, hopefully this stuff helped you. Yeah. Again, we don't have all the answers. We're not professionals here. We're just giving our advice from being married for a little over 7 years now and having two kids and having to figure that out. But yeah, we continue to look forward to continuing to figure it out.
Yes.
And
yeah, you guys, if you you know, have any questions or anything else you want us to talk about when it comes to sex, you know, you can always leave a comment and, you know, we can keep the conversation going. Yeah. You can send us a tweet, use the hashtag Let's Make Out Podcast or hashtag Ask Gabe and Babe. You know, talk about it in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, because I always like to see the dialogue that goes on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys. We'll be back.
That's right. We'll be back
soon with the next episode.
We're going to be consistent, y'all.
Yes, but until then, have a good one, you guys. Thanks for watching.
Talk to you later.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.